opportunity for us knocks today. We got a chance to be at the top of this division today. Let's go out here and show these people our confidence and our swagger today. When I say who are we, you say Saints. When I say are we ready, you say how. Who are we, Saints? Who are we, Saints? Are we ready? Who are we, Saints? Who are we, Saints? Are we ready? This is New Orleans!
Let's go, baby.
We don't play what you think we're
everyone. Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I, of course, am your host, Matt Alvarez, along with the one and only Eric Williams. Eric, how are you doing?
Matt, how you doing? I'm doing great today. Just, you know, getting ready to do another fun show. I heard last week's episode. Gave me a quick little shout out. Enjoyed that pretty much. But like I said, today is going to be a really exciting show, as always. Got a lot to talk about, and we're going to be doing our second segment in the series of the UWA Elite, promoting that, and they got a big show tomorrow actually, Crossroads. We'll go into that more in detail a little bit later. But Matt, how's your week? How was your week?
It was very good. Very, very fun to say the least. And then today, I don't know what's going on with the California weather over here. It's always something that we have to deal with. It feels like winter. It feels like it's going to rain, but I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sure the weather's nice where you're at in PA over there.
Oh, it's beautiful. 95 degrees yesterday. Man, I worked till 10 o'clock at night. I got home. I was like, got to wear clothes and jumped right in the pool. I don't care what time it was. 10 o'clock at night, midnight. I was there till like midnight in the pool, chilling. It was so hot yesterday. What we got in the chat room? Anybody in the chat room yet?
We got, of course, your good friend and my good friend, DDP, in the chat room.
Oh, hell yeah, DDP, my boy. What's going on, brother?
We've got some guests in the chat room, too.
Okay.
Thank everybody for joining us today.
Why don't y'all sign up, man? Register, blogtalkradio.com. You know, check that out. That was cool.
Yeah, that way we won't have to call you guest. You know, we want to call you by your actual name.
Yeah. Real quick, though, you know, big shout out to LeBron James winning the title yesterday. Winning a championship. How about that?
What a game. You know?
What a heat.
A lot of people didn't think that they would win.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to get a lot of heat for the next couple of weeks. But you know what? After they were playing the Pacers, man, the Pacers had them, and they were leading the series. I didn't think LeBron would come back. And, well, he did. And, you know, props to him because, like I said, it doesn't take – it's not – and, you know, it proves once again you need it, – it doesn't come down to one player. And I'm telling you this right now. I said this to some people today. It goes to prove that he needed a year to get used to playing with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And, you know, the critics were saying if they weren't winning this year that Bosh and Wade were getting traded to Orlando for Dwight Howard. Those are the rumors. They don't need to do that now. They want a title. Now the question is, can they keep up on the success? Because Oklahoma City put off a great fight this season. They played a really good, you know, played some real good basketball. But I'm going to say this. Keep saying this till next year. Remember this. This season was a strike-shortened season.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So whatever we talk about this season, take under that consideration that there was a strike. It wasn't a normal 82. Did they even play 82 games? I don't even know.
Nobody remembers. But we all better damn sure remember. We need to take a quick moment because, Eric, I'm sure you know what today is, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. Holy shit, man. Yo, Matt, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm so glad you're getting married. It's a great thing, man. You're getting married to the love of your life. Yo, enjoy that day because it's going to be a great day.
No. I wish I was getting married.
Wait, whoa. You're getting married? Wait. You get married? Like I always say, I'm getting married real soon.
I will.
Absolutely.
One of these days, not.
Then, yo, what happens when you get divorced? Then the woman takes everything, and you look like a damn fool. Like I said, what you're about to really say, we're not even going to mention it, okay? No, we'll mention it, man.
Do you even know what I was going to say?
Yeah, of course I know what you're going to say. Of course I know what you're going to say, man. You want me to say it? I'll say it. Let me see if it's right. So, big shout out, big birthday shout out to our boy, AJ.
Yeah.
Yo, happy birthday, my dude.
Happy birthday, AJ.
Yo, why don't you sing for him? You know you like to sing. Come on, sing for him. He's been real in the dumps lately. You don't want to call in. By the way, there's no heat.
We can both sing to him.
No, I think maybe more of you. I got a little bone to pick real quick before we go. You know, I wanted to sing, and I don't even know if you're going to sing, but I don't got no heat with AJ. I mean, Nick sent me a message on Facebook. Oh, I can't wait for you and AJ to get on the, you know, start going nuts and shit. AJ was on this show. AJ decided that he didn't want to do radio anymore. So it's not like any personal problems. It's just AJ doesn't want to do radio right now. I mean,
well,
it's not like I'm better.
Sure about
it's
that?
Not,
because
it's not like I'm better than him. I mean, we all know that I'm better than him, but that's besides the point, man. Let him have his day of his birthday. But like I said before, DDP wants to come out and send those messages. I'll probably get a message on Facebook later. Probably doing it as we speak. Like I said, no heat on AJ. You know, he might be mad at me. Like I said, he's a cool dude. I talk to him, you know, once in a while. But like I said.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you know. Go ahead,
well,
sorry.
You know, our guest will be calling in about 5 minutes. Real quick.
I'm excited to have him on. I'm pretty much going, I'll do a little preview unless you got something else to say.
Yeah, real quickly, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't get to all of it today, that's okay. There's always next week. And next week is going to be just a huge, huge topic next week. You'll want to come back for that next week. But, Eric, have you heard about this? It's about damn time this happened. Because after 143 seasons, college football decided late last night that they will finally have a playoff contingency to determine its national championship.
Really?
Wow. Let's give them a round of applause.
That was the cheesiest thing I ever heard in my life. I don't think so. It's about damn time.
I mean, they should have thought of this years ago. I mean, the NFL, they have playoffs. College never had playoffs, and now here we are, 2012.
Right. It's horrible. I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand how I'm going to say this again and again. How the hell does that, you know? I don't know why I didn't take, why, you know. Hopefully it works. Hopefully it's not some rumor. You know, but like I said, it's just, it's one of those things that was talked about, and, yeah.
No, it's all over ESPN. There's even a video there with the ESPN guys after the whole deal was sealed and everything, and they're just standing there behind a bunch of empty chairs behind them, and they said it's final, it's been approved.
Good,
so
I hope
here we
so,
go.
Man. I really hope so. I hope everything works out. Hope people like it, because like I said, everybody's been, you know, going for that for a long time. And, yeah, you're right.
I tell you, it's about time, you know, that's according to what some of you have told me by email. It's about fucking time. Well, wait till college football season starts. It's just going to be nuts.
You know, it's crazy. I looked outside about 5 minutes ago. Beautiful skies. I just looked outside, and I'm wondering what the hell's going on. I look outside, it's thundering now.
Well, maybe you're getting some of what we got here in California. Good.
Yeah, beautiful Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, man. About 3,000 miles away from where Matt is, and Matt be sending me those thunderstorms. But, hey. Besides the point. I'm going to WB tonight. I'm going to a WB show tonight. And that's fun.
Yeah. We had this conversation off the air. Are you going to a WB house show or is it?
Royal House Show. Yeah, they don't do tapings on Fridays. It's going to be good. I'm excited to see you. I haven't been to a WB show in 2 years. So I'm excited.
Lisa, welcome to the chat room.
Oh, hey. Yeah, what's going on, Lisa?
Lisa, damn,
it's the chat. Who?
Lisa.
Lisa, oh, wow. I've seen her since 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, that's cool.
Well, in about two more minutes, I guess your guest will be calling in.
Yeah.
Got his
music
all queued up for him.
word. Just, you know, but like I said, we'll be having on a UWA elite wrestler. We had on a Dave Swan 2 weeks ago, and we're promoting the Crossroads. Not really promoting Crossroads, but promoting UWA a lot. And you know, TJ has some stories. I'll tell you that. That's who we're having on in about, you know, whenever he decides to call him. He's got some funny stories, some good stories to tell, and some insight, and you know, one of those things, man. You got to promote the young guys, you know. Because the old guys are bitter. I said that. Yeah, of course I said that.
Well,
a lot of these old guys are bitter as hell.
Well, it's funny you should say that. That's our topic today, old versus young.
Good.
But I'm not talking about.
I'll say that right now. There's young, man, young people put out more effort. And, yeah, the old people have, you know, that veteran, that leadership thing. But that's not about that. You know, sometimes I feel like these, especially in wrestling, you got like a lot of these old guys who just stick around and just put a damper on wrestling. And I don't understand it sometimes, but like I said, it's not, you know, you're going to have to deal with that in any type of, you know, position, whether it's work, sports, wrestling, life, anything. You're going to have to deal with that. And it's just a matter of, you know, dealing with it correctly or not dealing with it or being a jerk about it. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, after we finished with your guest, it's about damn time that WWE smartened up just a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't know if they don't want big ratings. I guess they lost their focus on that. But it's about damn time they did something smart.
Yeah, I know. They haven't done anything smart in a while. We'll get into that a little bit later. Like I said,
yeah.
Again, you know, going off that old new thing, though. I mean, honestly, it's like I said, it could be just about damn time.
Did you hear about this young fan that got his you know, his $3.36 back?
No, what happened with that?
Because Brandon Jacobs, you know, was going on telling everybody that, you know, he might not have a job anymore in the NFL, but if he does, he's going to probably take some time off. And this young fan, you know, assumed that he thought, you know, in the context of what's going on with the economy, that, well, Brandon Jacobs doesn't have money. So he sent his entire piggy bank money of $3.36 to Brandon Jacobs. Since Brandon Jacobs is not going to be playing for the Vikings anymore, now he'll be playing for the San Francisco 49ers. So since he's out here now, he, you know, decided to go to Sacramento, California.
I don't like the Vikings, but he was playing with the Giants. Now he's playing with the Niners.
Yep. And so since he's here in my area now, he drove all the way to Sacramento to this young kid's house. Not only did he give him his piggy bank money back of $3.36, he gave him a personalized Giants helmet signed by him, and he was nice enough to rent out this, you know, bounce house type theme park for just him and his brothers. Just them. Nobody else was in there. Isn't that nice? And he was in there, too, playing with them. Could you imagine a big football player being inside of a bounce house? Dang.
Give me one second. Like, he told me that he just texted me saying the call number isn't working. Give me one second.
All right.
Give me that. Okay.
Well, while Eric takes care of this technical difficulty issue, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to let you know that if you'd like to call in or try and call in, the number is 347-637-2306. Yes, that's right. That's right, Lisa. So, but hey, Brandon Jacob wasn't worried about it. That here, have
okay.
Your piggy bank back, and hey.
Are you sure that wasn't you? Are you sure we're not talking about you?
No, I'm.
You sure you didn't do that? Okay.
No. I'm not a young kid. I mean, I'm still young, but I'm not, you know, a kid's like 10, 11 years old.
That's weird. It's saying there's no scheduled shows.
Really?
Yeah, he told me that there's no show scheduled. Can anybody hear? Anybody still in the chat room?
Yeah, there's lots of people in the chat room. They're all listening to us. Lisa just heard what I said about Brandon Jacobs. So she commented on it in the chat room. We're live.
Let me see. I don't know why the hell this guy. Might have to call him.
Well, you know, generally, He probably needs to do what everybody needs to do for most things like this. Probably dial the one first and then the number.
No. He says that he called and it says there's no show scheduled within 24 hours. Let me see if this guy. Oh, what? Is he in the queue or no?
No. Just you
call,
and me.
I'll call him. I'll call him in. I'll call him in myself.
All right.
Give me one second.
I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, technical difficulties. We always try to work through them. But I know that we're live because you're all here in the chat room. Like I've just mentioned, Lisa just heard what I mentioned. So that means I know you can all hear us.
All right, Matt. Go ahead. Do what you got to do.
All right.
And, you know, like we always said, we're having a guest on. Our guest today is the sure thing, TJ Blade. What's going on, TJ?
Yeah, buddy. How you doing, Eric?
Doing great. I don't know what we were having, some technical difficulties. I have no clue.
I don't know what kind of show you're running here, the sure thing, trying to come on your radio show, and you can't even get me on the line.
Hey, let me ask you one question before we get into this interview. By any chance lately, have you sprayed any body spray into your phone? Maybe that was the problem. Maybe you did that a little too much. I know you get a little too excited sometimes. You might have made your phone not work.
I don't think that happened. You might have all the jokes you got over there, but I can smell you through the phone. You smell pretty bad, Eric.
Oh, damn it. Well, hey, Matt, why don't you turn that music down, because I can still hear it. Or turn the music off. Cut the music.
There, we cut the music.
Okay, anyway. All right, so, you know, bring you on, and you know, we're doing a weekly segment for UWA Elite, just promoting the show, you know, promoting the shows and, you know, promoting the Fed and everything. And I figured I'd bring you on, and you've been making quite a name for yourself lately with working UWA and the various other independents in the Northeast and everything. The first thing I always ask everybody, you know, is how'd you get started into wrestling?
Just kind of grew up with it. You know, I turned on the TV one day and it was on and I was instantly hooked.
Growing up watching it, what were some of the guys that that made you think, man, this is something I want to do?
I was always a huge fan of Shawn Michaels. Probably would be the most inspirational wrestler for me. Guys off like The Undertaker, Triple H, The Rock. Always big fans of that.
Okay. And, you know, growing up in New Jersey and everything, off topic that you've done some, well, before getting into wrestling, you know, yourself, I know that you worked for Jersey All Pro as, a cameraman.
Yeah, I've worked with Jersey All Pro before. Always great people running that company. Always a fun time.
Now, going through, you know, with them being a larger independent company, being younger, TJ Blade, did you ever think, wow, this could be a Fed that I want to work for one day, or did it not slip your mind, or did it slip your mind?
No, actually, ever since I attended my first Jersey All-Pro Wrestling show, I wanted to wrestle for Jersey All-Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
And I hope I get the opportunity to do so in the future.
Right. So if you're listening, Fat Frank, book this man on the future Jersey All-Pro show. Yeah. Maybe you just gotta tell him, hey, threaten him with some body spray or something. body spray in the face. Okay, off of that, then into, you know, in actual wrestling and so that, working for, you know, working for UWA, you know, I got to ask you, what's your thoughts on UWA?
What I like about UWA is that the whole atmosphere is different than anywhere else. The locker room, you always feel welcome there. The fans, for some reason, it's a different atmosphere. It really is. Like, the way the fans react to everything, it's really fun. It's always a good time. It's different. That's what I like about it. It's not like every single other wrestling show. It's something different, something new. It's something unique. And a lot of these guys, you don't see elsewhere. You can only see them in UWA Elite.
Right, right. I mean, I think with the, and I was telling, you know, Dave Swan 2 weeks ago, I feel that with UWA, the big advantage going into it is, like you said, you don't see these guys, you know, anywhere but UWA. And there's a lot of hidden gems, like yourself. You know, I told Dave Swan last week that John Rome's another guy that, you know, really kind of popped my eye the first time I seen, you know, UWA. Now, you know, just the way he was, you know, the way he presented himself. And, you know, I never heard of him before UWA. And I kind of gave him props to that. And there's a lot of other young and up-and-coming guys. And there's, and like I told Swan last week, I was like, or no, 2 weeks ago, I told him, you know, it's a good mix of veterans. And, you know, there's a lot of young guys who are just hungry and, you know, ready to go and just, you know. And I feel that that's another, you know, a thing that helps UWA. Another thing that also, you know, maybe we could talk about this a little bit, the whole episodic television, you know, online. You know, how some of these feds out there, they'll say, oh, we're going to do an internet show, but it's only half an hour, or it's only one or two matches. UWA Elite does, you know, two shows. One usually goes about a half hour to 45 minutes, All-Stars, and then you got Action Zone, which is an hour and a half, and it's all wrestling. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that that's, you know, an advantage, you know, that UWA has of being different than anybody else. I mean, what do you think? I mean, you know, I just gave my reasons. What do you think makes UWA different from every other independent company out there in the Northeast?
Like you said, the episodic shows on YouTube, they're very interesting. I mean, you get to watch and keep up with all the storylines, all the everything that's going on for free. It's like we have our TV show, and with the new generation, everything's online, so doing it through YouTube is a great tool to reach out to the fans, and you can reach out worldwide.
Right, right. You can also go on UWAElite.com for more information on the well, because they actually post the links on that the website and straight you know YouTube links there. But you know, they just posted a show last night with Mike Quest and Dr. John Bowes in a a chain match? Or no, a dog collar match, excuse me. That was really good. I wanted to go over some stuff with you and UWA and everything. First thing that, you know, kind of boggles my mind, the whole, talking about Crossroads being this tomorrow. Last year at Crossroads, you had a match, a very interesting match, with a guy I just spoke about a couple minutes ago. That's John Rome. That was quite an interesting matchup.
It was very interesting. I remember that match like it was yesterday.
you did not win in that match either, but John Rome did not advance. I think did he win? He lost. Somehow he didn't even get in the next round or something. Some type of stipulation. I think it was he interfered in somebody's match later on. I think it might have been Renegade's match, but I'm not sure about that. You and Crossroads, I mean, hopefully this year at Crossroads, you'd fare a little bit better than you did last year at Crossroads.
Oh, I plan to come out victorious tomorrow night in South River.
Right. Okay. Before we go into everything else, let's quick segue into the actual this year's Crossroads. And you got a big match, an 8-man tag, you know, with you, Brandon the Bull, John Rome, and R.J. Gerhardt taking on the Wrestling Mormon, Elder Foreman, Tommy Guns Cobran, the Patriotic Guard Strife, and a guy who he attacked him at in his debut match with Chris Reyes. Talk a little bit about that match and what's the beef with the newcomer.
I had no beef with Chris Reyes until he cheated and beat me in a fluke. The cameras might not pick it up, but he cheated.
I mean, like I said, they don't have fluke victories in the win-loss column. I'm sorry to say that. I know I'm going to get some heat off that, but I mean, don't you agree? Like, it doesn't go win-loss then fluke. Win loss. You know what I'm saying? It's a win. You know, you got to win. I mean,
I'm coming with some disrespect towards me here, Eric.
No, it's not disrespect. I'm trying to be a journalist at
Are you calling me a loser?
No, I'm not calling you a loser. I'm saying
I think you're calling me a loser.
Well, like I said, let's get into like Chris Array. I mean, you get an opportunity again at this Saturday against that eight man, and you get your chance to redeem yourself for the loss.
And that I will. That I will.
Right, right. I gotta say this. How many cans of body spray can have this weekend at Crossroads?
As many as I need.
Now, is that for yourself personally, or we're not gonna
bring one for each member of my team?
Oh, okay. So you like them to smell really good. Okay.
Of course. Winners smell good, and we're going to be winners tomorrow.
Good. Hopefully that works out for you. Okay, so getting back to with UWA, with John Rome, you won the UWA tag titles with John Rome.
Yes, first ever UWA tag team champions, CJ Wade and John Rome. If you look at the website, we're number one on there.
Right, right. Number one. That was your first, title as a professional wrestler. What's that feeling like winning your first, your belt, first belt?
Oh, it felt great. We took John Rome out to the strip club. We had a great party. It was fun, and that's how champions do. They party like that. That's what winners do. That's why I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. Despite what you or any of the UWA League fans think, I'm not a loser.
We don't want you getting upset here, okay? It's just, it's wrestling radio, All right, let's chill out a little bit. But, so another, going off of some matches that, I've seen you in, and, some really impressive matches. You had a match with Cypress in season one. This is before the whole Paramount thing and, a good match there. What was your thoughts on working with a guy, Cypress, who's worked, hundreds of indie shows, just really hasn't had his name out there, wrestling wise. What's your thoughts on that? On working with Cypress.
Working with Cypress was fun. It was fun. We had a nice little match. Unfortunately, I lost. But like I said, I'm not a loser. I do win, and Cypress just got lucky that day.
Right.
And that's all there is to that.
We'll do a quick segue into something we're going to talk about in a little bit. But you wrestled on occasion, he is now the current, he's going to be defending the belt too, Sean Damage McNellis. You've wrestled him on UWA. What's your thoughts on working with the champ?
Working with the champ, it was all right. I mean, I'm not too big on Sean Damage McNellis and his idea of the way.
I gotta step in there because, like I said, he's done pretty much. Came in there and he won a Crossroads tournament. A tournament that you lost in the first round. Won the UWA.
Are you calling me
again? Getting back to my point. He won the UWA heavyweight title. He went above and beyond to win that tournament, you know, winning in a four-way. And now you're saying that you don't like him. What's the reason behind it? Is it because he's the champ, or is there something beyond that?
It's all about the way he reacts with and interacts with the fans. You know, these fans, they're dumb. They're morons. And they get behind people like Sean Damage McNellis, who claim to be winners, but in real life they're nothing but losers. TJ Blade's a winner. He's a short thing. And they boo me. But they cheer for a guy like Sean Davis McNellis.
Right, okay. I mean, he is going to be wrestling this Saturday at Crossroads against a guy who, well, you had two big matches against, and that being Arcadia. And, we'll go off the record here and say, since you've had two matches with Arcadia and you don't like Sean Damage McNellis, who are you rooting for? Or are you rooting for anybody in the title match with Arcadia and Sean Damage McNellis?
I am rooting for nobody because the short thing is not in that match.
Well, if you had to pick one person, come on.
I can't do it. I don't like both of them.
Well, all right.
I do feel it is going to be a very competitive contest because I've worked with both of them in UWA Elite. It will be a competitive contest, but like I said, I'm not in the match, so I don't care who wins. We can talk about the UWA Heavyweight Championship when it's around the waist of the short thing, TJ Blake.
Which hopefully, you know, for you is, you know, very soon. Okay, so basically, we talked about Arcadia. Let's talk about those matches with Arcadia that are pretty much, you know, some great matches that you had with Arcadia. The first being at Last Breath with Arcadia, that being the first of the matches, and a lot of people said that that's probably the better of the two. Discuss the whole, you know, the Last Breath match. You know, going into that, you know, you had the whole setup with the feud was great. You know, everything went, you know, as planned. You know, talk about going into that first match with Arcadia. Was there, talk about the, you know, butterflies. I mean.
Oh, there was a lot of butterflies.
Okay.
Arcadia was a guy that, being an independent wrestling fan, I used to go to shows and watch and actually, you know, admired him. And he was one of the guys on the top of my list. That is one of the reasons why I wanted to get into wrestling. And then he came to UWA Elite, made his big return, stepped onto my grounds now, and challenged me to a match. Yes, it was nerve-wracking. Probably one of the matches that I've trained the most for in my career. And just going into that match, I had one thing in mind, and that was to beat Arcadia.
Okay. Match-wise, what was there things that you know, as a wrestler, you got to watch the tape and, you know, watch footage and all types of stuff. Was there anything that he did in that match that you're like, holy shit, I didn't know he was going to do this? Or, you know, you're kind of like thrown off by?
Yeah, there was a few things that I watched my DVDs that I have of Arcadia. I scouted out all his moves. Some of them I was able to counter, but he came with some new tricks. The old dog brought some new tricks to the game, and one mistake cost me the match.
Right. And, Dave Swan said 2 weeks ago on the show, he said he liked the first, you know, the Last Breath match better. Now let's talk about the second match at Setting the Standard. In a 2 out of 3 falls match in the main event of UWA's biggest show. Talk about the feeling going into that match.
The feelings I had going into that match was pretty much to gimmick off the name of the show, which was Setting the Standard, I wanted to set the standard for UWA Elite as a whole. Again, very nervous going into the match. It was a different atmosphere this time around. Very different. And in that match, I did pick up a victory over Arcadia in the first fall.
We won't go into who won the second, third fall.
We don't have to do that.
Right, that didn't exist. But, you know, you got some, you know, huge praise off that match. And, I mean, like I said, shortly after that match, you know, you took some time off from UWA.
That is true. I need to clear my head, get back into the game. I'm not a loser, Eric. I'm a winner. When I lose, something doesn't feel right to the short thing.
Right. I mean, you know, like I said, if you needed that break, you know, come back, recharge, you know, more power to you, you know. But off of that, you've done some work for a very highly known fed in the Jersey, you know, scene called National Wrestling Superstars, the NWS. Talk about your first match. I mean, you worked a guy who also works for UWA, Michael Massacre.
First match, I believe, would probably be up there with probably, like, one of my favorite moments in my life, because that was the first time that I got to go out there and perform in front of a crowd and just do what I love to do, and that's wrestle. So it would be probably one of my top five moments in my life thus far. Holds a special place in the short thing's heart. But regardless of all the good feelings, you know, the match didn't turn out so well for me again.
Right.
I had Michael Massacre defeated, and unfortunately, the time limit ran out.
Ah, damn. I believe that was the show where Marty Jannetty was there. Is that correct?
Yes, Marty Jannetty, and also Tommy Dreamer.
How was, you know, we always, everybody hears stories about Marty, man. Did those stories live up to the hype?
Yeah, Marty as a character. Great guy, but a character.
Did you give him some body spray?
Of course, the short thing shares his body spray with all the veterans.
Do you like it or no?
He loved it. Who doesn't like it?
That's a good thing. I also heard a story, and this could be a little shocking to people of the sports opinions world, but I had Kevin Nash endorsing the body spray and loved the body spray.
That he did. He actually told me that if he had that body spray back in the days of the Click, that they would have did even better than they did at that time.
Well, hopefully, you can't go back and rewrite time, so that didn't happen. But hey, he was pretty successful for what he was. That's pretty much that. And you also, well, here's the thing you're not going to like. But hey, you got to bring it up sometimes. But back in season one, you had a death match. You had a Belmont death match. And one of the most entertaining matches I've seen in a long time with a crazy individual by the name of Eddie Idol.
Eddie Idol is a crazy man.
I mean, what were you thinking going after? He's a lunatic. What were you thinking? Did you want to, like, you know, maybe he doesn't do the body spray thing. You know, maybe he does the whole deodorant thing. You know, were you trying to convert him into that or what?
I mean, going into the match, my mind was all over the place because I really, how do you prepare for Eddie Idol? Like you said, the guy's a lunatic. The only strategy I had in mind was go into higher than hell and protect myself the best I could, protect the perfect face of the short thing TJ Blade, and just survive.
And I believe you also, you beat Eddie Idol in that match.
That I did. I beat Eddie Idol because I'm a winner. And I
not
win.
A not a loser.
Not a loser. See, you're catching on to it.
Well, for everybody tuning in right now, this is the short thing TJ Blade from UWA. Check out uwaelite.com. And, but with that being said,
you're supposed to go on Twitter and follow me at TJ Blade, Instagram at TJ Blade, or you can like me on Facebook at the short thing TJ Blade.
Gotta ask you, what's with the Instagram?
Instagram is great. I can share my pictures of the beach when I go down to Belmar Beach, when I'm in Seaside Heights.
What?
When I'm at the club.
Oh.
I mean, it's great. It's a short thing.
It's a short thing, man. Well, okay, so, you know, being, you know, a beach type of guy, what's your favorite beach? Let's go into that, and let's also go into what's your least favorite beach.
My favorite beach would be, of course, my hometown, Belmar.
I think
always beautiful women there.
Good. Do you get lucky anytime?
All the time. Every time, as soon as I step foot onto the beach, everyone just floods over to me.
Jesus Christ. Sometimes you need security or something. Or maybe you don't need it. Maybe you don't want it. Now, what's your least favorite beach? I mean, Atlantic City is pretty bad. I don't know if you've... even attempted to go down to Atlantic City.
I've been to Atlantic City before. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It smells pretty bad.
I hear they're actually working on it. They're actually doing construction down there. That's pretty hilarious.
That is true, because the place smells pretty awful.
Right. They do definitely need, you know, when you get down there, you probably take the whole, you know, buy out, you know, all the places that have body spray. Just spray it everywhere.
Yeah, when I pack my bag, I bring an extra tan.
Right, of course.
And I'm going to AC.
And hopefully, if you go to AC, you're coming out a winner. Because like you said.
I'm always a winner.
Right.
I'm not a loser. I never lose.
So, you would be a good person to gamble with. That's pretty much what you're saying.
Exactly. I would be a short thing.
Okay, good. Okay. I don't want to get you in a mood Ultimate Turmoil. You had a triple threat match in your return with King Tech and UWA newcomer who's been taking UWA by storm, no pun intended, but Drake Chambers. And how was that returning to UWA at Ultimate Turmoil?
It felt good to be back in the UWA. I had to come back and clean UWA up. Plus, when New Jersey smelled awful that night, I realized what I had to do. I had to come to Funtime America, come back to UWA Elite, and clean it up. Unfortunately, I did not scout out the new talent, Drake Chambers. I had never seen him before. Again, another fluke victory against me. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner.
Let's go into the, we'll go into the card and you'll give me some commentary, you know, or not commentary, but your thoughts on some of these matches that are happening tomorrow at Crossroads. And let's go into we talked about the main event earlier. Let's go into that one more time. We got a, Sean Damage McNellis, who is the reigning and defending UWA champion, taking on a guy who you've wrestled twice, Arcadia. We also have a title that you've held before, the UWA Tag Team Championship. Is on
first
line
ever.
As,
first ever UWA Tag Team Champ. Superstar John Rome. Number one.
Robbie Roller and Vin Grayson will challenge for the UWA Tag Team Championships when they take on the Tag Team Champions themselves, Hot and Dangerous, TKO, and Dynamite Davis. Who, beat you guys for the Tag Team Championship?
We don't have to talk about that, Eric. We can continue on with the next match.
Okay. Well, I think it's semifinals, and there's four triple threats, and then the winners of each triple threat go into a four-way for the Crossroads tournament finals. First match being Dr. John Bowes taking on the UWA Elite I champion Chris Redfield, and a guy who has defeated you at Ultimate Turmoil, Drake Chambers. My question is, and I wish Dave Swan would have been on, is that I championship going to be on the line throughout the tournament, or is it not defended at all?
I cannot answer that question, Eric. You'd have to set with President Dave Swan.
Or just show up at Crossroads.
Yeah, or show up in Crossroads and see for yourself. Tomorrow night in South River, New Jersey. You can check out UWLE.com for more information on that.
In the next match, the second match of the four matches, you have King Tech taking on a guy who wrestled before, Michael Massacre, and Jersey veteran Mike Quest.
Going to be an interesting bout.
Yes.
Very interesting bout, but I see Mike Quest coming out victorious.
Right. Mike Quest has been on some, like, intensity type deal. He's been just tearing, like, beating the crap out of people. I kind of feel bad for, you know, for the young Michael Massacre and, well, King Tech.
They're in for a beating.
Right. And the third match, Cypress, who really, you know, they just put online, Cypress, who's really, you know, coming out and saying he's from Chicago, he's going to be a different Cypress now, you know, just coming out against the rejuvenated Eric Corvus, who has been on, like, that type, you know, same type of deal with, like, you know, trying to find himself. Now he's doing his own, you know, he's being himself, as he said, pretty much, you know, and a guy who's been just tearing it up since season one started is Hedges. That's going to be probably one of those matches that I would like to see for myself, you know, how these three guys, you know, combat with each other. Who do you got coming up?
I got to go with Hedges.
Okay.
Hedges is a monster.
Yeah. I think you've wrestled him yet, have you?
No, I have not crossed paths with Hedges yet. And
I don't know if that's somebody...
You know, I'm not looking forward to doing that either.
Okay. And in the fourth, in the final match, it'll be Joey Chaos taking on Kyle Winant, who's been on a, you know, well, he's the beast, and the Paramount's Ryan Brass.
Well, as much as I hate to say it because I think Kyle Winant is a moron, I think he has this one in the back.
And then we have the eight-man tag. Brian the Bull, John Rome, and RJ Gerhardt, like you said earlier.
That's going to win them. We're going to win.
Right. Taking on Chris Reyes, Strife, Tommy Dunn's Coburn, and Elder Foreman.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
Okay.
Yep. They're losers. They're greenhorns, as John Rome would say. We have a winning team.
If anybody wants to come check out UWA, definitely you should. It's going to be at Holy Trinity Church. The address is 90 Bernardine Avenue, South River, New Jersey. Tickets are, I believe, how much are they? $12 bucks in advance, or you're going to buy them $15 at the door. Check it out tomorrow, Saturday night. Final question is, do you have anything to promote, any upcoming dates besides UWA that you want to throw out there?
I'll be doing some, besides UWA Elite, you also see me at UWA Elite in the upcoming months, but I'll also be working, again, National Pro Wrestling Superstars in August. You can check out my Facebook page for more information on that and find out where you can get tickets and where it will be located. And everybody should come out tomorrow night, South River, New Jersey, to UWA Elite Crossroads. I mean, I'm going to be there. That should be a reason alone why people show up. And it's going to be a great lineup of matches. And I'm going to walk out victorious and win. I mean, come on, it's a short thing.
And you're a winner. All right.
Exactly. I'm a winner. It's a short thing. You should come out. Bring the whole family. Have a great time. Get to meet TJ Blade. And what else can you ask for on a Saturday night?
All right, TJ, it's been great, great talking to you on the interview, doing the interview and stuff like that, and hopefully all goes well tomorrow, as you say it will. But thank you for coming on.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Wow, what an interview. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was another great interview. It's one of the many newer things we're doing here on the Sports Opinion Show. I believe Eric is still with us.
Yes, sir. What do you guys think? Any feedback from the chat room? What do you guys think? I mean, I love this body spray.
Well, you know, it depends what kind of body spray he uses.
He uses all types of body spray. Whatever gets the job done.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Yeah, you guys seem to work really well off each other there on the first interview here on the Sports Opinion Show. Wow.
Yeah.
You better be careful. He might issue an open challenge for you to take your ass up to New Jersey and wrestle him.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Who else we got? What's DDP talking? What's he saying in chat? Anything?
Nothing. Not saying anything. No. No.
Lisa still in the chat room?
No. She left. She wasn't interested in who we were interviewing, so.
Oh. Well. Anybody register yet?
No. No one has registered. There's a lot of guests in the chat room, though.
Give me how many guests do we have in the chat room?
We have three of them.
Wow. That's good. 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 We have 103.
We have a lot. Yeah, let's just imagine and pretend it's 103.
No, that's not enough. The Blog Talk Radio has very inaccurate numbers. I'll say that right now.
Yeah,
but,
they do.
Yeah, that was a great interview. Like I said, we'll get back to UWA next week. I don't know who we're going to have on next week. You have to find out. I'm going to be working on a group page within the net. I don't even know if Matt has it yet. A Facebook group page for the Sports Opinion Show that you'll be able to find out all the information on anything that's sports opinion related. And yeah, I'll be working on that probably tomorrow. Sometime tomorrow, but yeah, it'll be a group page, and you know, there'll be a chat room up during showtime that you can go in there instead if you want. And I'll have the information for you next week on that, because yeah, I feel that would help out. And that way you can, you know, check out the links to UWA Elite, all types of shows. I think next week we're going to have on a guy who's actually in the tag team title match, so he might, you know, I don't know what, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, but we may be having on a brand new tag team champion, you know. We're going to be having on Robbie Roller next week.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll do that next week, and we'll be promoting that. It's a live show, but it'll be shown next in 2 weeks online. So, you know, we can't really give out results because unless you're at the live show. I might be going to the live show tomorrow. I'm not sure about that yet. We'll see how funds. We'll have the fund if I have the funds for it or what the deal is. But yeah, like I said, I'm not going to be on here too longer because I got to get ready. Go to Raw
all right
tonight. But yeah, Matt, it's been great. I'm sorry to cut you off and sorry to get have to leave and do all that, but here we go. Nick, what's Nick want? Let's see what Nick wants. But yeah, I will be talking to everybody next week. I'll be with you guys like always. And I'll check you guys out next week.
All right, Eric. Enjoy the show tonight.
Yes, thank you, man. See ya.
All right, and with that, we are going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to run into a whole lot of maybe, yeses, and nos. Yeses, maybes, and nos is what I actually meant to say. Doesn't that sound better? Yeah. So let's get through this real quick. When we come back, WWE stopped a few things. They stopped two things, actually, this week, and they all took place on national television. You're not going to want to find out what this is all about, but it's actually a smart move.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show. We'll be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my God,
the leader of Team Pooch himself, Mick 37. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, and we are back. We have taken a late commercial break because we had an awesome, awesome interview. Once again, please, after that nice, amazing interview, be sure to check out UWAElite.com. They are going to have a big show, Crossroads, tomorrow from South Rivers, New Jersey. Oh, man, you got to check out the website. Matt Broderick has just made his way into the chat room at the end of during the course of that song. He said that's one of his favorite songs. Is that your favorite song of all time, Matt? I'm not sure. But it seems as though, as we go from that wrestling interview into the actual wrestling news topic. But very quickly, Matt, I want to let you know that me and Eric mentioned it at the top of the show, that college football is going to finally have, after all these years, they're going to finally have their own playoff series. I'm not sure what part in the Windy City it took place in, but there was a huge, huge crowd at one of the big offices for college football. People were lined up, they said. It was crazy. You probably heard about that, Matt, since you live there in the Windy City. He lives in Chicago, just not sure. It's like California. There's so many different cities, you never know where this place ends up at. So if it took place near you, Matt, congratulations. They made that decision right there in the Windy City for you. But, you know, WWE actually stopped a few things this week. I'm sure you heard Mick Foley make his entourage announcement of a wrestler, a legendary wrestler, wrestling on Raw each and every week leading up to the 100th episode of Raw. But WWE has since reportedly abandoned the storyline. Instead, they changed direction and will now focus on the former general managers that have taken place. They will host Raw and SmackDown every week. Mick Foley mentioned that too. But the first part that he mentioned has been abandoned. They've scrapped that now. Mick Foley, I'm sure as you were well aware, that he hosted this week. And I know we don't normally give out results of the show for next week, but just a heads up, Vicky Guerrero will host Raw next Monday. Oh no. If you're going to the show, like Eric Williams just left us a few minutes ago before that commercial break. He's going to a WWE house show tonight in Pennsylvania. That's where he lives. Chyna went on another wild rant on Twitter late last night and this morning. She claims that someone by the name of Jennifer Nelson stole her dog. I mean, if you want to check out Chyna's Twitter, by all means, feel free to do that. Because she put up this girl Jennifer's phone number, her address, I mean, everything. Just check out the tweet. It's crazy that she actually has this random girl's information. But long story short, the girl said that, well, she knows Chyna before she was a wrestler, and now Chyna thinks she's all that. And, well, when you become the ninth wonder of the world and you suddenly go from 4 feet tall to like 7 feet tall, I don't think you should mess with her, regardless if you knew her from the old days of high school or whatever. I'm sure a lot of you were surprised. This is another thing that WWE did that was kind of both good and bad. You saw the Chris Jericho promo of him and his band Fozzy during Raw. Chris Jericho, that's because his suspension ends today. Yeah, it was supposed to end 2 weeks from today, but they decided to be nice about it, and they said, we're going to let you come back 2 weeks early before your original suspension was to be lifted. But because of the promo and how happy he was and shaking hands with the fans and people at the Fozzie concerts, more than likely you can expect him to be working as a babyface when he returns to action. Because he showed in that Fozzie footage on Raw, showed him in a more positive way. And for what it's worth, Rey Mysterio's WWE suspension ends Monday. But no word on when Rey Mysterio will be returning. WWE.com published an article on the craziest chicks in WWE history on Thursday. But late yesterday afternoon, it was quickly deleted. But among those featured on the article on WWE.com, the Glob Lady Glockler, AJ, Luna, Bertram, Maxine, Mickey James, Bull Nakano, Victoria, Vicky Guerrero, and Sherry Martel. You're probably wondering, well, if you're going to make an article on the craziest chicks, why would you quickly delete it? Well, Vince McMahon and others felt that this article relating to crazy chicks was way too edgy and, well, it brought memories back of when they were in their TV-14 PG rating days. Well, everybody misses the TV-14 rating days. Bring those back. And finally, before we get into all the wrestling shows and run the results down as quickly as possible, the other smart thing that WWE did, this is smart thing number two, well, deleting the article was not a smart move. That was really, really stupid, but they felt it was too edgy. They felt it was kind of rated R, so they decided to pull it down immediately. You know how many hits that article would have gotten Vince? The hell is wrong with Vince McMahon? But finally, WWE makes one smart move behind the scenes. They have just now announced that the NXT and FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling, instead of being separate shows, it will now all be one show. Because they figured this show is not on television anymore. We're not going to be taping it anymore. Hell, why not just make it all one show? No, there's no word on whether it's going to be called the NXT show or will it be called the Florida Championship Wrestling show. The one thing for sure that we do know is they're going to give it an independent wrestling feel to it. That's what it has been all along. Why didn't they just do this from day one? Make NXT and Florida Championship Wrestling one show. They wait after all this time to do it. I tell you, it's one of those things. But let's start things off now. I'm sure you all saw it this past Sunday at No Way Out. Brodus Clay versus David Otunga. But the long short of the story is that, well, Brodus Clay won by countout because David Otunga, you know, he re-entered the ring at the count of eight. But then he stopped and stared at the referee, and because he only had 1 foot inside the ring, but he chickened out. And he decided he wanted no part, no more of Brodus Clay. And, you know, throughout most of the pay-per-view, almost every single segment had to do with John Cena being interviewed. And John Cena kept saying the same thing all night long leading up to the main event at the pay-per-view for No Way Out, which was, John Cena will get fired tonight. You know, I wish Vince McMahon and WWE management would not do this. You do have other wrestlers to focus on. I understand, as I've said before, John Cena is the golden boy. He's the new version of Stone Cold Steve Austin, although Steve Austin always gets better pops when he comes out. The crowd goes nuts. Now all we end up doing is half of us will cheer Cena when he comes out. The other half will boo Cena when he comes out. But if you bring Steve Austin in, which they probably will now that they're going with this legend direction of general managers, Steve Austin is on that list of former general managers. But this pay-per-view escalated to nothing more than a dormant of a huge catastrophe, because then they had the World Heavyweight title. The second match of the night was the World Heavyweight title, Dolph Ziggler versus Sheamus. World title matches are supposed to be saved. That's why I liked it back in the old days when Vern Gagne came up with the idea to create a semi-main event and then the actual main event to send the fans home. Kind of like a few years ago when they fucked up the one big Survivor Series pay-per-view, I'm sure, which we all remember. Which was, remember John Cena had came out and he said, look at this. This pay-per-view is ass backwards. The main event is first. Because they keep rewriting shit. This was supposed to be the one. They were going to try and stick this in between the women's match, but they decided not to. Because they felt that the world title, you know, they felt that it just lost its prestige. Excuse me? You're telling me the world title has lost its prestigious moments in the history of wrestling? This is the World Heavyweight title we are talking about. The biggest championship there is. Why? Because they came up with their own ideas and a few years ago and said we're going to create the WWE Championship. Oh, so you want to make this bigger than the world title. Anyway, Sheamus is your winner for that. Then at the last minute, Santino Marella came out on the pay-per-view and he said, you're probably wondering why I'm dressed in a tuxedo. Ricardo Rodriguez, get your tuxedo ass out here. And they proceed to have a tuxedo match on the pay-per-view. Of course, everybody knows Santino was going to win, and that's exactly what happened. The tuxedo match wasn't even promoted on Raw or SmackDown. Wasn't even promoted in the card, so you can tell that this one's obviously another last-minute rewrite. It only takes 2 minutes just to go out there and beat the snot out of each other, but then don't really beat the snot out of each other because it's our rules. We're calling it a tuxedo match. It's like weird. The Intercontinental title was on the line, Cody Rhodes versus Christian. A very good wrestling ethical match. And I said, finally, some sanity for this pay-per-view. Christian won. Primo and Epico took on Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel versus Titus O'Neil and Darren Young versus the Usos. But there was a very interesting caliber in this match. AW, who is been solidly behind Primo and Epico. Hand Tyson Kidd off to Primo and Epico, but then he hands Titus O'Neil and Darren Young two different steel chairs with the referee's back turned. And right then and there, the audience knew. We all thought, pay-per-view quality, that AW had screwed Primo and Epico. And as we saw on Raw, boy, he teamed up and he's now joined forces with Titus O'Neil and Derek Young. And Primo and Epico, they'll get their chance, I'm sure of it. But Titus O'Neil and Darren Young are your new tag team champions. The Divas match, which is where the world title match would have been stuck in between, was Beth Phoenix versus Layla. Layla wins. Nobody really cared because, well, Vince doesn't want the women wrestlers to actually wrestle. He just wants them to go out there and pull each other's hair out for no shitty-ass reason. And, you know, I monitored the time. I borrowed my buddy's stopwatch. A 4-minute match was pretty good. I should have let it go another minute. It would have made it a 5-minute match. But, well, this is why nobody really cares about the women's matches. It's the way Vince and WWE produce them to tell these women, just slap each other around and then the referee will bring you guys home. And that's all you're going to do tonight. Sin Cara versus Hunico. Hunico, he had control of the match. He kept it going. He had several pin attempts. Then he even used some chops on Sin Cara. Some beautiful knife edge chops. I said, damn, I know that hurts. But nonetheless, that didn't help him either. Even the trifecta, the secret roll-up pin that most people win by, which is by surprise. He tried to do that on Sin Cara, but to no avail, Sin Cara still wins. And finally, the WWE Championship is on the line. Kane versus Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk. And what I wanted to happen between AJ and Daniel Bryan didn't happen yet, but it still might happen. I still want her to bitch slap him for all these months of clearly abusive relationship, but we'll see what the writers do with it. Speaking of AJ, she came out. They were about to start locking up. All three of them were ready to beat the hell out of each other. When her music hits, she comes down to the ring. She gets inside the ring. And she gives Daniel Bryan and CM Punk a good luck kiss. Well, Daniel Bryan felt disrespected because he only got a kiss on the cheek. CM Punk and Kane got kisses right on the lips, but she kissed Kane longer than she kissed Daniel Bryan and CM Punk together. And that's why they're running with this new storyline with Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler. What kind of woman is she? What the hell is wrong with her? And blah, blah, blah. And they try to come up with their own analysis on Raw. And Michael Cole said something, and Jerry Lawler said, forget it. We'll never understand it. Never. But CM Punk won. But after the match, you know, because AJ tried to interfere, and she tried to, you know, cost Daniel Bryan the match. But he sidestepped her, and whether Daniel Bryan intentionally or not intentionally knocked her off the ring apron, she fell out onto the floor and she laid there. After the match, Kane carried her off to the back. And then they kept replaying that whole thing. Why is Kane caring about her? He doesn't need to care about her, but he does care about her. Well, we know how many relationships Kanan's been in. Dan Delaney and Rob Grimes. I know those two names don't mean anything to you, but these guys were the guys, the first two delinquent, let's call them, against Ryback on SmackDown 6 weeks ago. And they actually let these guys and Ryback on a pay-per-view. But Ryback still wins. Then the big finish. Everything about the steel cage match was what we wanted and more. And Big Show tried every possible way to defeat John Cena. He did leave not only one, not two, but three right hooks to the jaw of John Cena. But John Cena got rid of the Big Show, defeated him. Then John Laurinaitis tried to tell him that he's cheated and they're not going to put this in the record books. Out comes Vince. Vince gives him a low blow from behind. John Cena picks him up, proceeds to do the FU, but before he can do the FU, Vince McMahon tells John Laurinaitis that he has been publicly fired. And, well, this is where the whole thing takes us. I cannot believe that this whole thing spiraled so viciously out of control. But it did. It did. And what else is there to say about this pay-per-view other than it had the large caliber, people were behind it, but nobody knew how to really cheer for it. That's because you have the old way of thinking, which I know a lot of our senior citizens listen to the show. Matt Broderick's dad listened to the show once in a while. It's great to have the old experience of people involved in sports. But when they try and render you to tell you the new stuff you want to try, it will never work. Remember, Vince McMahon told Steve Austin, you're not going to look cool wearing black boots, black tights, and black trunks. And Steve said, don't tell me that. I've already been told that by Eric Bischoff in WCW. I want to try it. And a year later, after a year of arguing with Vince McMahon, you know, Steve Austin, he didn't do it on purpose. But he, you know, accidentally showed up at King of the Ring 1999 with just black boots, black trunks. He forgot his actual wrestling gear that he used to wear in WCW because that's what they wanted him to wear. But to coordinate his promo against Jake the Snake Roberts that night, coined the phrase heard around the world, and it became popular. Austin 316, and because Stone Cold said so. And immediately, everybody started producing signs, and they wanted t-shirts made. And then Vince said, maybe you're on to something after all. You're still very young. We're going to go with this. People like it. Then he started doing the middle fingers and everything else. And I said, we're going to do that too. But now because WWE is so very, very cautious of what they do now. No. But it's a new thing. We want to try this. The younger talent had now been getting behind Vince McMahon about Ryback and his character. Because you all remember me saying last week that the writers and WWE personnel feel that because Ryback is still new to the WWE system, still brand new, he just got called up from the independent circuit. The way he walks around the ring with two people on his back, they feel that it's dangerous, that it's immoral, that he's going to hurt somebody because he doesn't have experience. But all the young guys and some of the people that have been with WWE for years and years and years, and you won't believe this, but Cody Rhodes in real life is actually a big, big supporter of Ryback. He says he can learn. He can practice. Let him try and practice. So, it just, it doesn't work when you try and tell somebody that the new thing you want to do, it's not going to work. What if it does? The Attitude Era made Vince McMahon a multi-billionaire. And everyone's predicting that in the next 5 years, he'll proceed what his father, Vince McMahon Sr., did, and he'll become a trillionaire instead of a billionaire. He's got so much damn money, but he doesn't want to invest in the old way of thinking. Mixed with the new idea that some of the young talent have come to him with. He says, we're a PG product now. We don't need to do that anymore. It's good, but then it's bad. Because I tell you, everything about this past Monday night on Raw saw a sheer figment of everything because, well, Mick Foley said on Raw that, yeah, I'm here, but I got called by the board of directors, and to reduce my travel costs and my time expense, the WWE decided that they would come here to New York. And since I'm Mrs. Foley's baby boy, I will be the guest host tonight. And John Laurinaitis, we all saw him come out. He made his proclamation that even though it's his last night on Raw, he did make an announcement at the pay-per-view before he got fired. There would be a main event that John Cena would never be able to get out of. But anyway, the first thing was CM Punk and Sheamus took on Kane and Daniel Bryan. Of course, no one could tell what really what. Well, you could tell that Kane was by himself because Daniel Bryan and CM Punk kept watching the backstage area, making sure at least that AJ wouldn't come out. But Kane, you couldn't really tell what he was thinking, well, because he's got a mask on, and, you know, people want to be able to look into your face. Because if you can see somebody eye to eye, you can more or less tell when they're lying or telling the truth. With Kane, you can't do that. He doesn't talk now. It's not like back in the old days where you hear this, I will... And he coughs and has to clear his voice again with that pathetic storyline of them saying he could only talk through a voice box. Whatever happened to that stupid storyline? For years, I believed, growing up as a kid to now, Kane really can't speak. He has to use a voice box. I feel so sorry for him. And then after all these years, realizing that 8 different people have played the role of Kane over the years. And people are saying, well, don't worry, it's still the real Glenn Jacobs under the mask. You know, the same Glenn Jacobs that played in See No Evil with the bald head? Well, whether it really is or not is anyone's guess, but so far, as we all know, 8 people have played the role of Kane because AJ did come down to the ring. She came down and she skipped around the ring like she was a fucking high school cheerleader. And she just came down there just to make that one little impression. She skipped back up to the ramp. And Kane forgot about the match and followed her in shock. I'm sure Daniel Bryan's going to probably have some final things to say to Kane, either tonight on SmackDown or on Raw. Yeah, Kane was like, what the hell is going on? I'm going to forget about this. That's exactly what he said, Matt. So CM Punk and Sheamus, they win. Jack Swagger took on Dolph Ziggler, of course, before that whole thing on Raw happened. You saw that they were arguing in the back about who was the better diverse wrestler. Was it Jack Swagger or was it Dolph Ziggler? Dolph Ziggler's been Intercontinental Champion 4 times. Jack Swagger has been the World Champion on 2 occasions. But Vicky Guerrero didn't want to hear any more fighting. It was her "excuse me" quote that got their attention. So they said, well, we'll just have a match to see who really is better tonight. Dolph Ziggler wins with the zigzag out of nowhere. And, of course, Jack Swagger is seething now. And finally, the moment everyone was waiting for because they knew it was going to happen, New York inside that arena, you could faintly hear it, but I think they tried their best to edit it out. They probably went to the tape room and said, well, I tried to edit most of it out, but it's still there. Because you could faintly hear the Paul E. chant. I mean, come on, they just released the newest ECW unreleased DVD. Of course, Paul Heyman is not a part of that. Joey Styles is. But still, the crowd chants ECW. But he was there to take care of business with Triple H, and we'll see where that goes. Santino Marella versus Alberto Del Rio. Alberto wins the match, not before cheating behind the referee's back. Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, they took on Primo and Epico. I told you all about what happened at the pay-per-view for that. Man. Primo and Epico, though, they got counted out thanks to AW. He was the one cohorting them, telling them that we're going to fight another day. Finally, the big main event that John Laurinaitis had made at the pay-per-view before he got fired was that it would be John Cena in a handicap match versus John Laurinaitis, David Otunga, and The Big Show. But before the match could even start, Big Show grabbed the microphone and said, I've had enough of this. I'm still going to go with my, you know, good contracted clause, no clause contract presented by WWE. That's my contract, which means I don't need to stay here. And despite you and David laughing, this is not funny. Remember, I'm not a laughable guy anymore. I'm out of here. That's strike one for John Laurinaitis. Later on in the match, David Otunga, as we fast forward to the close of this, he tagged John Laurinaitis into the match. And remember, at the top of Raw, John Laurinaitis told the Big Show, David Otunga, and Eve Torres, don't worry, we will win. She said, well, you're not my boss anymore. How are you going to win? Remember the words John Laurinaitis said. Tonight will be a night that no one will ever forget. And when he did what he did after he got tagged into the match, of course he wanted David Otunga to stick around and help him, you know, beat down John Cena behind the referee's back. David Otunga decided he didn't need it anymore either. So everybody virtually walked out on John Laurinaitis because he's not the general manager anymore. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he took off his neck brace, threw down on crutches, took off his arm cast, and started beating the hell out of John Cena. And that's when we all knew. If you saw that show, you knew exactly right then and there. This is the big finish that John Laurinaitis was talking about. With him saying at the top of Raw, tonight will be a night that no one will ever forget the name John Laurinaitis. Well, people will be talking about this for quite some time. I guess WWE wanted him to make a lasting impression to make sure that those of us watching the show, we would truly never forget the name John Laurinaitis. Now let's fast forward 4 days later to the TNA show. I don't understand. You normally would take a commercial break and talk about this, but let's get right into this. I'm so excited to talk about this, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what Brooke Hogan had to say. I know this didn't take place until halfway through the show, but it made it seem like a focal point. She said, and these are her words, because she was in the room with most of the Knockouts, all of them except Gail Kim, who had the night off, obviously, that Madison Rayne said that she'd been champion more times than once, but because she went and put her foot in her mouth about last Sunday's Slammiversary pay-per-view that took place, Brooke Hogan had the nerve, and she needs to get used to the acting thing. And I know Matt Broderick and DDP and others will agree with me on this. And did you notice? Every time the camera was on her, she would stare at the camera instead of staring at the women. You have to pretend the camera isn't fucking there. I mean, you can if you want to, but then again, that's usually reserved for guys like Bully Ray. But she said, these are her words again, like I'm saying, She told Madison Rayne, well, if you're going to talk smack about somebody, you shouldn't even be here. What? Why would you say that? This is wrestling. You're there to talk smack about the other person. If the other person claims that they are better than you, then of course you're going to want to tell them, get your ass in the ring, and we will see who's better than you. You want to talk so much shit, I can talk shit too. But no, she goes and she tells the women, don't be like Madison Rayne, and don't go putting your foot in your mouth, because then you're going to get bitch slapped for it, and you're going to lose something that's, well, if you're Gail Kim, you don't want to lose the Knockouts title. That didn't make sense to me at all. And everybody said, well, whose office is this? Can we sit in this office? Yeah. Okay, well, then where's your dad's office? She says, oh, you're standing in it. Another stupid thing to say. I mean, what? Were the Knockouts supposed to pretend like there's an office for Brooke and an office for her dad, Hogan? I don't get that. It was a damn good show. A damn good show. I mean, everything about, like I said, Bully Ray got in the face of Abyss's brother. He always wants to remind everybody that I'm Chris. I'm Abyss's brother. You know, Abyss, Chris. And I felt the show was a good success show. But not the way you're supposed to. Because what this did would signify everything about it, but the one thing I will say is I like Austin Aries' idea for option 3, that whoever becomes the X Division champion should from now on automatically get a shot at the world championship. And Hogan liked the idea. Of course, you know that this was indeed all planned. And it's like I said, there had been all week a lot of the old people and the people in charge trying to say that the fans aren't going to buy this new concept of if you win the X Division title, you automatically advance and go on to try and become the world champion. See, but it goes back to the young guys. Old versus young. The young guys all said, look, we helped build this company. And we can make this work. Let us try it. So, unlike WWE, where WWE just makes decisions out of a random magic hat that they believe is still true magic, but it's not. It used to be magic, but now that they want to be a PG product, give the magic hat to TNA. Maybe they can do something with it. And I like the idea. I don't know about you guys, but I certainly enjoy this new idea. Mr. Anderson took on Christopher Daniels. Mr. Anderson had called him out. Of course, it was open fight night. Robbie E. made some very big points, and he said that he would be the one to win 10 full points. And there's no one better in the TNA locker room that can do it. Except maybe if you're a bald-ass white boy by the name of Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle did not want to hear that. He immediately accepted the open fight challenge. And it only took Kurt Angle 33 seconds to beat the hell out of Robbie E. He immediately put the ankle lock on him right away. And Taylor Hendricks was last night's gun check competitor. She had a great, great video package. It showed her tenacity. It showed her drive and her motivation to want to be a Knockouts wrestler for TNA. Of course, that was all done and foreseen by TNA management, because after that, Magnus came out to the ring. He said he is the one that truly deserves to win the entire Bound for Glory series. And, you know, they took a commercial and they came back, and Magnus said, now that we've taken care of our little business, he was talking about the commercial break. I don't go out ruining people's families, ruining their lives, especially if your name is AJ Styles. Boy, he did not want to hear that either. AJ just took care of business last night. Let's just leave it at that. See, at least TNA has the knowledge to put on their website how long it took each match. WWE will never do that. Magnus beat AJ in 2 minutes and 27 seconds. Taylor Hendricks versus Tara. And I could feel some resentment from the audience since I was watching that live crowd, since they are live now. They were cheering for Tara, even though she's a heel. But, well, people are going to do that anyway. They're going to cheer for the person that's been in the company longer versus somebody who just walked their ass in the door and totally knew. I mean, unless you knew who Taylor Hendricks was, of course you're going to show up and cheer all crazy for her. And of course, you know, it was kind of stupid commentary about her athleticism because Mike Tenay kept asking Taz, well, can you tell us anything? He said, no, I'm a judge. I can only commentate, but I can't do my judging and commentate at the same time. Just leave that shit alone for gun check from now on. Samoa Joe, he was next to call out James Storm. And Samoa Joe beat him. Well, James Storm actually won in 3 minutes and 53 seconds. Bully Ray called out the returning Pope. That's right, the Pope D'Angelo De Niro is back in TNA for all you Pope fans. The TNA Knockout Championship, Miss Tex Mocker versus Mickie James. It was a back-and-forth match. They had plenty of false finishes, false moves, and they both hit their finishers multiple times, and you just never knew who was going to win. But ultimately, it was Miss Tex Mocker who came out on top. Rob Van Dam took on Jeff Hardy in 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Jeff Hardy won, though. Now, it should have been the end of the show there, but that didn't happen. The old versus young, maybe Dixie Carter is not that young, but she is in alignment with a young guy by the name of AJ Styles. And they tried to tell their story of this whole relationship demeanor. And that it's been going on for a long time, and AJ Styles says, look at me. We don't have to do this. Who cares what the crowd thinks? And the crowd starts booing. And then this woman came out, and she said that the fans don't know her, but AJ Styles and Dixie Carter have all been friends for many, many years. And she said that she woke up in a hotel with a stranger, and that's when she went to Dixie and AJ for help. She said the stranger was none other than Christopher Daniels. And you saw them backstage going, no, she can't be doing this. Shut her up right now. Daniels and Kazarian, they were pissed off, and because the woman is revealing the truth. You know, she did say her name, but obviously you can tell she has no mic skills, because I would have been able to hear her name. Ah, the couch potato is here. How you doing, couch? Of course. I was just going to say that. Couch always takes the words out of my mouth. Her microphone skills suck. So now, that's why I said in the description before you guys all decided to join the show. Oh, my God. I didn't look at all these callers. Really quickly, 484, you're on the air.
You. What up?
What up? Eric Williams is back.
You don't even know my number anymore. Come on. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Let's see. And who's this other person calling from Skype?
Oh, it's me. I'm just listening. How you doing today, Matt?
Good. So you saw last night, Couch, huh?
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. I mean, how many other women? I mean, if they'd, like, just picked her up off the street or something. I mean, they could have found a better hoe with better mic skills than that. I'm telling you, it was horrible. And I actually, and very rarely, sit down and watch these things live. That's why they made DVR, so you can fast forward through the commercials and the stupid parts, which I usually can get through a WWE two-hour show in about an hour. Take away from that, I just found it horrible. They could have found a much better person. An unknown wrestler, for crying out loud, could have done better than that. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? The girl from the Gut Check Challenge? Or
yeah, well, her too. Oh, my gosh, was she horrible or was it just me? Not
apparently
only that.
Her name is Taylor Hendricks, or I don't even know. But I was just, I thought it was funny because I go to this website, WrestlingEpicenter.com, and, man, they were, like, promoting the shit of this chick. I'm like,
she's horrible.
I'm like,
she's horrible, but let me tell you something right now. Tara's always been one of my favorite women wrestlers. There are not very many out there that are as good as she is, and she made her look as good as ever going to look.
I'm telling you right now, though, I'm a big independent wrestling fan and everything. You know, I'm Eric, by the way. There's this chick, and, you know, she's working, like, crazy styles, but, if you ever get a chance to see Sarah Del Rey work, man, you're gonna be like drooling. Not only is she like she's kick ass in the ring, man. Like this chick will mess up everybody. Before she was having like great matches with like Karma when she was Awesome Kong back in the Indies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was tearing it up with like Madison. She was like kicking the shit out of Madison Rain, like just beating the hell. Yo, I'm telling you right now, if TNA, man, I'm telling you, they want to like put a jump on that women's division with Gail Kim and, Del Rey, she's a beast. She's
Eric,
not like...
Eric?
Yes, sir.
I have to tell you, I know Sarah. Sarah
she,
is awesome.
She is a man. She is the hottest... I can't say it, man. Like, honestly, man, I can't say what she... Like, she's just... She's a freak. She's just fucking. I'm telling you right now, they bring her into TNA. She'll give ODB a run for money. And honestly, I'm gonna say this right now, and I'm sorry to cut anybody off, and I'm saying, I'm cutting off. But they've been making this ODB Eric Young shit like look like a joke, and it's horrible.
Well, Eric, ladies and gentlemen, we are obviously in overtime, but we're gonna keep
overtime. What?
Yeah, the show's already over, so they're
going
to have to catch
this
in the archive.
Just keep going, brother. We're having a good time.
Eric, check this out. One time we had an APW Halloween Hell show here a few years ago, and you know who the main event was? It was Sarah Del Rey versus cheerleader Melissa.
Damn. Well,
and
that chick used to work in APW too, didn't she?
Yeah. Melissa graduated from there. But anyways, it was Halloween Hell. Dude, they took this shit out into the street, into the rain, and then this car, Eric, came out of nowhere, and I still don't know who was driving this very black-tinted car. And Sarah picked up Melissa by her hair, threw her into the backseat of the car, and they started fighting in the backseat of the car. The car took off. we were sitting there going, what in the blue hell is this all about? And the referee starts counting, and they announce, they said, well, this match might not finish. It might not take place. We're going to have to go along with the rest of our wrestling card for tonight. And hold on, wait a minute. Here comes the car. The car came back.
Holy shit. That's what I'm saying. That's the lovely, man. I'm going to say this right now, man. I've been chilling, just drinking, like, you know, since I got off the air at 5 o'clock. That's what wrestling is needing. Wrestling needs moments like that because, honestly, man, I'm 25 years old. I've been a fan since I was, like, I can remember. I remember watching Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3. I'm saying this right now, though. I'm getting tired of the same crap every single week. And, yeah, they say, oh, brand new tonight. No, it's the same shit. I don't want to hear it. That's the type of stuff that I would, as a fan, be like, holy, like, I would love to see that type of stuff live. And
yeah,
like I said, I'm going to a live show right now, but...
Because, Eric, you know the other thing? When they got out of that car, this time it was Melissa that turned the tables. She threw Sarah Del Rey into the wall on the side of the building. And then it's pouring down rain, and then Sarah kicks her in the stomach. And she grabs Melissa, and there's some thorn bushes over by where the owner of APW, Roland, where he parked his car. She threw Melissa into the thorns.
Awesome. You know what?
I was like, dang. I know that hurt. Could you imagine me tossing to a bunch of thorns?
Yo, Matt, what kind of car you got? You said, what kind of car you got here?
What kind of car do I have?
Yeah.
I have a Chevy Ventura, 2001.
Yo, I would have pulled into that place, right? And I'm, like I said, I don't know how you are. But, yo, I would have grabbed Del Rey and just threw her in the car and just left. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. That's some messed up shit. But, yo, is Couch Potato still on there? On here?
I am. I'm still listening.
Yo, man, I'm telling you right now. Honestly, and I'm not even, like, going to front here. I'm not going to, like, front. I've been listening to your show for, I think, like, 2 years now, 2-3 years. Like, I knew who you were before you knew who I was. You know what I'm saying? Like, that type of deal. You know, I'm telling you right now, if anybody has a good voice for radio, this is you. Because when I first
started... I definitely got the face for it.
But, no, but it's not even about the face. I'm not even going to say... I'm not going to say anything, like, bad about anybody. I don't do that kind of stuff. But when I listen to you, I'm like, yo, clear voice. And you have these people here on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, I'm going to shoot off some people right now. Matt, this is Eric Williams getting pissed off my beard. Honestly, I've been meaning to say this for a long time. But you know what? There's a lot of people on Blog Talk Radio that suck. They're horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, I only call into shows. Man, I've been doing radio for 6.5 years. I've been doing this shit for a long time, man. And you know what? I don't do my own show anymore. You know why? It's not because I don't like it. I mean, honestly, Yakuza Kick Radio and Golden Cravat, the top shows out there. You know, Yakuza Kick still tearing the shit up. J-Cat putting on crazy shows, man. He did another one last night. It was great on Blog Talk. But like I said, I'm telling you right now, and whoever's listening to Blog Talk Radio, man, step it up. Step up to the plate and start getting these guys that actually know what they're talking about. Couch Potato, Matt. You know, Matt sometimes he gets a little, like, you know, nervous, I can tell. But we're getting there with Matt. I'm getting him, you know.
What? Oh, don't
with,
go there.
You know, I'm going to hook you up with a girl. You know, you're going to get that confidence. But like I said, Couch Potato, I appreciate the shit that you're doing for Blog Talk. You're actually fucking talking like you know what you're talking about. It's not some of these kids, man, they be like on Blog Talk. They be like, oh, I was doing this shit. Oh, like, I'm like, man, like listen to half these shows. Like, just go on to sports, like, just scroll down these sports shows. And you're like, boy, this next one, like, this is horrible. I can listen to Couch Potato. The only problem is I don't listen to you every week. Problem is, reason why, I got to work. I'm a grown man. I got to work. You know what I'm saying? But I check it out. I'm like, oh, man, this guy has a clear voice. You can actually understand him, you know? Hey. Or, hey, how are you? Like, 5-year-old kids in their mother's basement just chilling out, you know? And I'm not shooting on anybody by saying that, but like I said, you know, it's your business. Your business is your business, and, you know, enjoy your life. But like I said, always enjoy your show. Keep up your good work. You know, you sound like a smart dude. Probably are. Or you might be like me and be a big douchebag. Who knows? Just kidding.
I try to fake it. You know, I try to fake it. And plus, you know, with Blog Talk Radio, we've actually been able to do a lot of things. We are actually covering. If you're a football fan, we are actually doing the live play by play of the Indoor Football League on our show on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and. Doing it on the Couch Potato Sports Show, I picked up the gig next year to be the voice of the Allen Wranglers. We're doing all the playoff games starting tonight, actually. In 2 hours, we're doing a live broadcast where the Colorado Ice are taking on the Green Bay Blizzard in the first round of the IFL playoffs. Roger Noriega is going to join me for that call over on the Couch Potato channel. So we're doing a lot of things, and you know, I just find myself tired all the time, but I wanted to get in finally for one night and catch Matt's show, and
I came in the last 10 minutes.
I thought you were on for another hour.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, I told Matt, first day I ever met him, I said, yo, you got a good voice. I said, you need to, like, just start going outrageous. Like honestly, I'm not going to, like, ask you personal information, but I just got to ask you, nothing personal. How old are you? Dude, I'm just wondering.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 45 years old, actually.
You sound about that. I was wondering, because I was waiting for you to say, hey, I'm 20 or something. Because I was going to be like, holy shit, you don't even sound like. So you're pretty much like, you know,
I've been doing radio for a long time. I actually did radio in Springfield, Illinois for about 11 years. And just doing sports, doing some regular talk stuff. So I've got a little experience with it. And when we started doing the Couch Potato Sports Show in February 2009, it was just really just to go blow off some steam on some of the stuff that we've seen. And it is actually really actually taken off. And with the opportunities that we're getting with the IFL, and we're actually going to be putting on Texas high school games. So for people who can't hear certain games from certain teams, they'll get an opportunity to hear their kid or, you know, a relative of theirs. So we'll be doing that on Blog Talk Radio too. So good stuff as far as that. And I appreciate the kudos. That's always good.
Couch, we got to get you on the show to join me and Eric for reviews on this stuff, man.
It might be one of the bad things about it, at least during the school years, you're right on when I got to go get my kids from school, but I might be able to join you a little bit more while summer's going on. So I'm going to try to remember. So you're on from 3 to 5 my time. I thought you were on 4 to 6, so I thought I'd grab you the last hour, but I guess
no, I'm on from 1 to 3.
Yeah.
No. What are you, Eastern? No, you're probably Central, right?
Yeah, I'm in Central Standard Time, yeah.
Yes, you 3 to 5, yeah. I'm over here in the East Coast. I'm here in Pennsylvania, so. It's 4. It's right now. It's like 6 o'clock, so.
Yep, so, you know, I'm going to try to get in a little bit more and check out the show and try to get live because I listen on the archives all the time. So I've heard all of his shows, so it's good stuff.
That's what's up, man. And like I was saying, man, like, honestly, like, NDB Media 2, you know, this, you know, honestly, I'm going to say this right now. I remember, like, I don't even know how many years ago it must have been, like, when I was first starting radio, man. There was some dude on here, and I don't know who it was, but I called into a show. I think it was the first time I ever called into a show before hosting it. And I thought the guy on here, I don't remember. I remember, like, the guy that I first talked to on NDB Media to. I don't remember. It was, like, 4 years ago, like I said. Sorry, I had to tell some guy to go fuck off. But, I'm actually walking right now. But this dude I don't remember who it was. I want to go back and check it out, but I'm too lazy and I work too much. This dude was a big douchebag. And I don't know who it was, but the guy was like, man, you don't know anything about sports, blah, 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 and saying some dumb shit. And then it was funny because I actually did, like, crazy, like, downloads, like 10,000 downloads on Golden Cravat, like, tearing shit up. And then, like, I've never even seen this guy's name before. Like, I haven't even heard him. I don't even think he's a party, like, the network or anything like that. I haven't heard this voice in that long. Because I want to call in, if I ever hear this dude on the network, I'm going to rip him a new one. I really am. Because he really, like, and he kind of, like, motivated me to, like, put on, like, a show that would kill him, you know, and make him look like a joke. And then I thought it was hilarious. Like, I became friends with Matt through some other stuff. You know, Matt's been really good to me. You know, but the dude, like, you know, like I said, I thought it was hilarious. Matt's like, oh, I'm doing this radio show. And then we're, you know, doing the regular sports spinning show. And he's like, oh, I'm doing the, you know, he couldn't, you know, the whole thing with, you know, Blog Talk being jerks about charging people. And then he's like, yo, I'm a part of this NVB me. I'm like, ha. I'm like, one day I'm going to rip these people a new one. Because, man, this guy was a jerk. I don't know who it was, though. Like, I was like, I don't know. It was like three years ago. Man, sometimes when you drink too much, like, you know, I'm not drunk, but, like, I'm just thinking back to it. And I'm like, who was that? Because I know it wasn't. It wasn't like a Lenny or like a who the hell was it? What's her name? Andrea. It wasn't her, man. She's a sweetheart. But it wasn't any Lucy. It was some jabroni. I'll say that. It was some jabroni that I couldn't care less for. Man, I'm telling you right now. And if Lenny's listening, yo, he is the godfather of baseball. Fantasy baseball. I'll say that right now. He can, like, there's so many, like, I'm going on a crazy rant. I'm probably going to listen back to this and laugh my ass off. But like I said, there's some hidden gems in these in Blog Talk Radio, but they're hidden because there's so much junk on Blog Talk. I mean, let's laugh at the fact that anybody can do a show for a half an hour. Like, what can you accomplish in a half an hour?
Exactly.
Like, seriously, I'm 25 years old. And if I talk, I was on the air earlier, you know, interviewing TJ Blade, Matt, and I felt that we were only on the air for 15 minutes. I look and for you it would be 150, but I was like, holy shit, I just got on the air at 120 and I was talking and I was like, holy shit, I'm running out of time to talk. And I thought I was only on the air for 10 minutes. I was on the air for a half an hour. And like I said, I feel it. Blog Talk, man, like, if you're listening, whoever, Blog Talk, matchmakers or whoever, let's get into this. I'm going to say this. Go back to non-free. Let anybody do a show, man. I get frustrated because, like I said, I'm not paying $39 to do my own show. There's no way. Absolutely not. I work, I have a car, a brand new car to pay off, right? I got bills, I got a cell phone, I got rent, I got all this shit. I don't have money for the cell phone bill, man. That's why, like I said, I'm so grateful that Matt let me came back on, you know, radio after a year hiatus. You know, I did Yakuza Cape, but it was kind of like, you know, say a couple things and then boom. And now, every week. But I didn't really get to see, that's not me. I want to build new people, you know? Like, I do co-hosting to get people to where they need to be, you know. Like, I've done a lot. I know, you know, I've done a little bit of, you know, play-by-play for baseball, for college baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done that. And my thing is, I want to see new people get better. You know, that's me. You know, it's like a pro wrestler. You want to see the young guys get better. You know, you want to get them to that next level. You know, your time is always going fast. And that's my goal for sports radio. Like, I want to get these guys on a new level. You know, and like I said, I come on Sports Opinion Show. I want to help Matt. I want to get him to the next level, you know. Whoever needs me to call in, I'll call in. I'll give him a good time, and you know, we'll have fun. You
know? Yeah.
Much lost him.
Yeah, we lost him. Oh, man. We But yeah, one,
that's
one
okay.
of these
that's
days.
That's that, that's the cell phone thing working. So, but yeah, you know what? Radio is just like anything else. If you think about it, man, the more you do it, the more you do shows, the more you do things, the better you get at it. It's just the way it is. It's repetitiveness. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons why Blog Talk Radio is good. I mean, you get the opportunity to practice a skill if you actually like it. And that was one of the reasons why I did it, just because when we went off the air over in Springfield, Illinois, I was just looking for something to do, and boom, and it ended up good. So keep doing what you're doing. It's always good.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, we'll have to bring you on for the summer and have a brief interview with you about how you got started and all that.
Oh yeah, if I can get it set down in paper, I'd have no problem doing that at all. So bear with me for the next couple of weeks. I might ease my way in a little bit earlier and jump in on what you got going on. But yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So do you think that? Because I seriously did not catch her name at the end of TNA last night. I was like, what is her name? She wasn't even holding the microphone properly.
Yeah, when I watched it, I kind of knew that's kind of like the way they were going. But actually, I thought it was because AJ was actually going to maybe buy out Dixie Carter. That was where I was going on this thing. And as far as the quote-unquote, you know, not a great relationship, but that's where I was headed. That's where I thought it was going to be going. So we covered, you know, it covered what it was supposed to be done. So I don't know if it was a good thing or not. I mean, do you think it was? I mean, I thought it was a bad storyline in reality.
Yeah, it was. It was a bad storyline. People were just like, what?
Yeah, that's what it was. You're looking at the screen, you're going, what the heck just happened here? And that's really not good. I mean, wrestling doesn't want that going on. I mean, in reality, you want to be engaged with the audience that are watching the show. I will say, however, I do like the Bound for Glory series when they do it right.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
Whatever happened to Scott Steiner?
He was only there for 6 months and then he bailed.
He was my all-time favorite wrestler right there, but a little Scott Steiner, big Papa Pump, you know. Yeah, but really, he got to the point to where all he was doing was suplexing people. So you know, his ring. You really couldn't call him a ring technician because he was getting so big he couldn't hardly even move anymore. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Well, thank you for this nice conversation, Couch.
No problem. And you got to kick out of here. You have yourself a good evening. Again, if you get some time, take a listen to some live play-by-play on the Couch Potato Sports Show tonight.
Yeah, I think I'll try and do that.
Yep, and we will catch you. I will try to get in a little bit early. I'll try to get in next week, and I'm actually going to watch. Are you actually going to watch SmackDown tonight? I'm actually going to record SmackDown. I normally don't watch it, but something tells me we haven't heard. Hey, have we heard the end of John Laurinaitis? I don't think so. You want to know why? Because I'm going to my brother's, I think, next weekend, and they're going to be in his town, and John Laurinaitis is on the bill. So just kind of give it away a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on with that.
All right, sir. You have a good one.
All right, have a good one. Take care, my friend.
All right.